Bad news for the global child trafficking ring. The survivors are speaking out. For years, whispers have surrounded an underage brothel hidden in plain sight, operating inside a NATO base in Romania. A base allegedly catering to powerful men, politicians, contractors, diplomats, and connected to Erica Kirk's Romanian Angels Orphanage. Now, survivors from that network are uniting, naming names, sharing documents, and demanding justice. The elites thought they could bury this case forever. They invoked the US-Romania agreement that blocks local authorities from investigating crimes on American bases. They scrubbed digital traces, gagged witnesses, and ordered fact-checkers to declare that the allegations were a conspiracy theory. But the silence is breaking. And today, you'll hear from one of them. A young woman who escaped the system and lived to tell what she saw. Because according to these survivors, there are flight logs, hidden cameras, and secret visitor records. The kind that can bring DC to its knees. This is dangerous information. Because it doesn't just expose a trafficking network. It exposes the alleged perpetrators and those protecting them. Before we get into today's report, did you know that Israel has declared digital war on Americans? If you care about your privacy and don't want the deep state spook spying on you, you need to visit vp.net/TPV today. They are the only VPN that actively fights to protect our First Amendment rights. Using their service also helps support independent creators like me. Visit vp.net/TPV for more. What you're about to hear isn't rumor, it's testimony. Recorded in a safe house outside of Bucharest, from a survivor who has carried her story in silence for years. She describes a network operating under the cover of humanitarian aid and international defense contracts. Children taken from orphanages, trafficked through educational exchange programs, and used to entertain the men whose power was supposed to protect them. The documents match, the timelines line up, and the faces, the same faces appearing in photos from charity galas, diplomatic dinners, and NATO briefings, appear again in survivor testimony. In this episode, you'll hear from one young woman who made it out. Her story begins in the so-called orphanage, and ends deep inside the base. Her name, we're not revealing yet, has been changed for her safety. She explains she was brought into the Romanian Angels program as a child, told she was being adopted, educated, protected. Instead, she was taken behind the wire of a NATO base and handed over to the men her caretakers called sponsors. For years, she was moved, hidden and raised until she escaped. And now for the first time, she's ready to speak.
I'm Elena Popescu. I was sent to the orphanage when I was 12. The place sat 2 kilometers from the NATO runway. Close enough that the F-16s rattled the windows every time they took off. Erica ran it, American, blonde, voice like a scalpel. She never touched the children, she just priced us. Club Paradise, that's what they called the shipping containers behind the PX. Red lights, padlocks, a jukebox playing American rock while children screamed. 8-year-olds, 12-year-olds. Some so drugged they didn't know their own names. Officers in flip-flops, local tenants on leave, lobbyists and politicians from DC with wads of cash. They paid by the hour, sometimes by the pose. The orphanage's cut came in 8 crates. Peaches on top, blood money below. Andrea was 9, came to us after her village burned. Gap between her front teeth, ragdoll stitched from an old Red Cross blanket. Erica took one look and said, "That one's premium export." She called us invoices. I was scrubbing the floor right outside her office. The door was open a crack. I heard every word. One night, the colonel rolled up in a Humvee, dust still spinning off the tires. She met him on the porch with iced tea and that smile that doesn't reach her eyes. She told him Romania was just the test run. Cheap real estate, no questions, perfect. Next stop, Fort Bragg, then Pendleton, maybe even Seoul. Orphanages tucked inside every base perimeter. She called it adoption acceleration. Said half of Congress are pedophiles. Said congressmen would cut the ribbons while their wives posted the photos. By the time anyone noticed kids disappearing, the trail would be cold and the donations already laundered. Same week, she was on a satellite phone, laughing low, telling someone in Tel Aviv the blonde boy had gone for 25,000. A politician in DC wanted twins, no older than 10, faces unmarked. She quoted 30 each if he wired it the same day. Then she dropped her voice and said the real money was Ukraine, not for the kids alive, for the kids liquefied. That's the word she used, liquefied. They'd load the ones nobody wanted, the biters, the sick, the ones who cried too loud, into white vans before dawn. Destination, a clinic outside Odessa. White coats, no names. They'd keep the kids on glucose drips, draw a pint every 3 days, sell the plasma to burn units, the whole blood to rich people who think it keeps them young. $8,000 a liter. Andrea knew it too. She whispered it to me through the window one night. They say, if I don't smile pretty, I'm next for the needles. I slipped her a razor blade inside a bar of soap. She sliced her own wrists just deep enough to scar, to drop her price. Erica was furious, sent her to the containers anyway. Damaged goods, still rent. Andrea crawled out at 14 with a busted jaw and a USB sewn into the hem of her dress. Photos, logs, a voice memo of Erica laughing about details so sickening I can't bring myself to repeat them. Andrea found me last year. She said, I still have the lightning bolt scar where they stitched me after my first night in the containers. Want to see? She sent the picture. Underneath, she wrote, invoice number one. We're in our 20s now. We found others who'd been through the same system. Different years, different bases, but the same details, the same fake charities, the same officials pretending not to see. That's when we started to organize. People think Romania is quiet about this, but it's not. Everyone here has heard rumors. Some journalists are still brave enough to publish the truth, even if their stories get pulled hours later. The public knows what's happening. They just need proof that can't be erased. That's what we're working on now. We've seen what happened with Jeffrey Epstein, how survivors refused to stay silent until the system cracked open. We're doing the same. We don't want revenge. We want justice and protection for the kids still trapped in the system. Like we say in Romania, a lie has short legs. They can run for a while, but the truth runs longer.
As whistleblowers keep coming forward and new evidence surfaces, the official story of the Charlie Kirk assassination is falling apart, and the elite are scrambling to regain control. Inside the Knesset, accusations are now flying. Benjamin Netanyahu himself is being called out for orchestrating a false flag on October the 7th, exactly what Charlie Kirk said in the weeks before he was silenced.
אני מאשימה אותך, בנימין נתניהו. מאשימה אותך בטבח השיבה באוקטובר. האסון הגדול ביותר שידעה המדינה קרה במשמרתך. גם אם אתה ישן עם מצפון נקי, לא נשכח לך, נזעק את ההפקרה, תקום ועדת חקירה ממלכתית. אני מאשימה אותך, בנימין נתניהו, במימון החמאס, בבניית הטרור, ועצימת העיניים האיום הקיומי עלינו, בהפקרת ביטחון המדינה כמדיניות. ביטחון הוא לא אינסטרומנט פוליטי, שמעת?
The cover-up is starting to crack Utah. Newly released texts from Utah Valley University, obtained through a grammar request, show that the decision to pave over the crime scene wasn't routine at all. It was improvised. The plan was set in motion just 3 days after the shooting. No prior schedule, no paperwork. Just a sudden order to erase what was there. So, why did Utah Valley University lie? And who gave the green light to bury a fresh crime scene under asphalt, just days after the assassination? This was no ordinary paving job. A construction crew well trained in keeping quiet. What exactly were they told to keep quiet? No wonder Kash Patel is panicking. With his credibility burning over Jeffrey Epstein, Charlie Kirk and the J6 pipe bomber, he's now blocking an FBI probe into a foreign intelligence agency tied to the shooting. And instead of transparency, Patel is mobilizing his legal network, targeting Americans who dare to investigate the Israel-DC connection. Not a good look for an FBI director. You can see the fear in his eyes, hear it in his voice. But this isn't just about Patel anymore. It's about a network terrified of exposure. After the break, we reveal what they've been hiding in plain sight. The global elite are raking in crypto billions, rigging markets to keep regular Americans like you broke. It's a deliberate wall. And as viewers of this channel already know, the globalist wants you enslaved, not free. BlockTrust IRA is smashing that with their Animus AI trading platform, which has been designed to outsmart the hedge fund managers so that everyday Americans have a chance at real financial independence. This is the number one crypto platform, crowned by Bitcoin Magazine from over 1,500 rivals. Thousands of ordinary Americans like you are already raking in 250% returns, backed by $200 million in military-grade security. The globalists absolutely hate this platform. It has created 80,000 new millionaires already. BlockTrust IRA's mission aligns with ours. Financial freedom is the key to fighting back against the shadowy elite. So please visit tbvcrypto.com, links below, to find out more. For a limited time, they're offering my viewers up to $2,500 in bonus crypto when you open an account. Visit tbvcrypto.com and join the revolution today. Cash Patel's cover-up was just the opening act. Now the loudest truth-seekers have gone silent, terrified for their lives. The threat isn't subtle anymore. Protect the powerful, or be silenced like the rest. Just look at Benny Johnson. Once pointing to considerable evidence of a professional hit squad and state involvement, now performing verbal backflips to pretend he never said it.
There is reason for people to believe that this is a professional hit job. John Solomon is an excellent reporter, and Stephen Crowder has some leaked information. I want to talk about both. I want to begin by saying that I'm very, very close with Charlie and his team, and here's what I wish to relay to you from them. That there is some considerable evidence that there were state actors involved here. That's it.
What changed, Benny? Was it the text message from Lance Twiggs? Was it the similarities between Tyler Robinson's photo and the actual mugshot of Tyler Robinson in the jail cell? Or was it the fact of how fast Tyler Robinson was able to get into that sprint? Or was it the Man of Steel autopsy where Charlie Kirk stopped a 30-odd-6 with his neck? Which one of those was it that led you to believe that Tyler Robinson is now magically this lone actor and there was no state level or foreign intelligence agencies involved in the assassination of Charlie Kirk? I'll be waiting.
That was Ryan Matter asking the questions that matter. The fact is, people are terrified because of the nature of the people who have declared war on America. Nothing is off limits now. They've made that clear. And BB has already boasted to American audiences via Oliver Stone about how he convinces people to blow up hospitals and buses of children. It's almost as if he wants you to know that normal morals don't apply to them.
Somebody to blow up a bus full of children or a building full of innocent civilians, you have to grind it into their minds. You have to wash their brains and tell them there's a higher cause out there. It's religious, ethnic, racial, whatever. And for that higher cause, you can disregard all the normal rules of morality.
If you're digging into the dangerous topics, doing real research, asking questions they don't want asked, you need to protect yourself. You need to stay invisible. The threat is real. Your identity, your passwords, your fingerprints, your bank accounts. Everything that defines you can be turned into a weapon. They use data as leverage. They collect, profile, compromise, and destroy. That's their playbook. Control through exposure. But this time, the tables are turning. We know their methods. And we know how to fight back. Head to vp.net/TPV to see how you can disappear from their systems before they decide you're a problem.
Who did you not at all trust, even though you had to work with them?
The Israelis.
You didn't trust them?
Not as far as I could throw them. We don't allow the Israelis into CIA headquarters because they would always come with gifts, and the gifts had always listening devices packed inside them. And you know, if somebody brings you a gift, you x-ray it. It's a normal process. And we're like, you guys can't keep coming back here every single time trying to bug our conference rooms. So no more.
What percentage of the time did gifts have bugs in them?
100%.
Be quiet.
No, seriously.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely not. I wish I was.
100% of the time they brought gifts had bugs in them.
Yeah. We had a safe house in Virginia, and we would meet with them there.
John, was that across the board with everybody that didn't trust them the most?
Oh, yeah.
What percentage of our guys you work with didn't trust Mossad?
100%. I'll give you another example.
Okay, give me one you trusted the most.
The Brits. I worked very, very closely with the Brits.
Why were they easier to work with?
Because our national interests are so closely aligned.
Here's what they don't want you to know. The VPN industry has been infiltrated and compromised. Industry leader Proton is funded and controlled by the World Economic Forum in Davos, the same people writing the digital ID laws and building a digital prison for humanity. And many of the most popular VPNs in the world, ExpressVPN, CyberGhost, and Private Internet Access, have been bought out by Cape Technologies, an Israeli company linked to Mossad, whose staff is packed with former cyber intelligence officials. These are the people you're paying to protect your privacy. It's not just a sick joke, it's a punchline, and they're laughing at you. If you're paying for a legacy VPN, cancel your subscription right now. Because in 2025, a breakthrough has arrived. One that changes everything. Just like blockchain revolutionized finance by cutting out the middlemen, cryptographic networking is doing the same for online privacy and wiping out the corrupt and infiltrated VPN industry. VP.net was created in 2025, built from the ground up to be verifiable, transparent, and unstoppable. Legacy VPNs say trust us not to log, trust us not to monitor you. VP.net says don't trust us, verify. Unlike legacy VPNs, every connection is protected by a mathematically verifiable cryptographic shield. So no third party, not even VP.net itself, can see or log your data. So if the government comes knocking, and trust me they do, VP.net has nothing to hand over. No logs, no user data, nothing. Even if somebody put a gun to their head, they'd walk away empty-handed. Head over to vp.net/TPV and see for yourself. It's fast, it's unhackable, and for our viewers, it's just $5 a month. A small price to stay protected on the new digital battlefield. Protect yourself today. Join the movement at vp.net/TPV. And here's the best part. Your membership doesn't just protect you, it helps fund the world's first open source independently audited privacy network, powered by the people, not corporations. Join the movement at vp.net/TPV. Don't trust, verify.